Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the special edition episode with Sean Moore of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. I am, as always, your King of Paintball, Thomas Castle. And with me is the man himself who requested this show just for you to ask your questions. He seems to think he's going to get staked. I'm not going to allow any staking tonight. I'm hungry, but we're not that hungry. So let's see. We got Steve telling us he's just fishing. Thank you, Steve, for fishing. Brad, fuck you. Ben, nice to have you here tonight, buddy. So we all know we were there. Those are who you're listening tonight. We're guessing some of you were at Honey Badger this year. There was some funkiness, but there was so much awesomeness. So first of all, I'm getting that out of the way. I had a fucking blast. I've said it 1,000 times. I've said it to everybody. I made sure that I came and give this man some love because I ain't ever seen shit explode on a paintball field before that was supposed to explode. Never seen that before. I've never been ferried in and out of buildings in vehicles getting shot at. Never happened before. It's a place. It's like a fairy tale land of paintball when you get to go to something like PRZ. So let us not forget that we all had a ball. There was a point in that day where everybody was having fun and giggling their asses off. And we were all acting like we were 14 years old running around the woods with our shitty Tippmanns. So it was there. So we've all got that out. Red won. Yes. The teams were a little funky. Yes, we know. Some of us went there to fight for the right to party. Some of them went there for objectives and it kind of fucked them. It happens, guys. We all know it. But now I'm going to finish my rambling and I'm just going to hand it over to Sean. I'm going to let him talk, tell us, kind of take us through the day and everything. And then we can finally put this bitch to bed and move on to the new events, whatever the hell we're going to do, and all shoot at each other again. So baby, it's all yours.
Sounds good. Good evening, everybody. I feel like I came off a high after the past couple of years of writing missions for Honey Badger. And this year, Adam and I really, really wanted to give you guys something that we would have been excited about. Like as a kid, all I ever wanted to do was go to the Haunted Mansion at Disney. Haven't done it yet. But it's that sort of thrill. We would go through things and we would go through scenarios and things we could add and subtract and make things easier and more fun and more exciting, more cinematic. But I think maybe there's a few times when we kind of overcomplicated things. I think some things became overcomplicated on their own. And I think by the time we arrived there on Friday, we had so many variables up in the air. Like the King, my liege, has mentioned, we had things exploding, which we haven't implemented before. And that opened up a whole nother line of changes and the restrictions that we had to deal with. And when I arrived there on Friday, things as simple as the hard pack of the ground and the actual geography and the landscape and, you know, the actual physical scenario and environment itself caused issues for us. The things we had to blow and the places we had to put them, we just couldn't do it because the ground was too hard. We were digging out stones. We were digging out chunks of asphalt. And things changed so quickly that weekend. And, if anyone saw me on the field, they probably thought that was a splintering into several different personalities. I'd go from calm to insane in a second because my biggest fear was that people weren't going to enjoy themselves. And it's not like Adam and I do this to walk away, rich or with anything in our pockets. We do this because we love the sport. We love the community. All we really, really want is for you guys to walk away and go, fuck. That's, 24 hours, I'm not going to get back and I'm happy with what I have, So if there is some confusion and stuff like that with things, it's, that's on me. I took on the lion's share this year, penning the missions, and we had discussed these things, Adam and I, and, he was going through, some changes in his lives and preparation for some great stuff. And I guess I pushed it, and I was like, you know, if I have to take extra things on, let me take extra things on. It's a great thing. It's a big thing. I remember my first honey badger is a great experience. And we just wanted to give you guys something larger than life, I suppose. And, you know, for the most part, I keep reading positives. I keep hearing positive stuff, which is great. And maybe I'm my biggest critic around. So when someone tells me something that I realize is happening, like, you know, can we shoot in? Can we shoot out? I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. All I could think about was the magnificence of a 400 person breach into a 3-story building. I mean, like, we went through so many different scenarios and timing situations on how to do that. And all I kept thinking was, I want everybody to witness this and be part of it. If I was more on my game and not suffering from a heat stroke and a lack of sleep, I probably would have listened to my business partner and suggested we break it up into two different buildings at two different parts. And, you know, again, I just wanted this feeling of camaraderie and a collaborative spirit where we all experienced it together. And I can tell you guys that the greatest sense of clarity that I've had in at least two decades was when I blew the mortar on the north facing double door of the 3-story. The pyro team had asked me if I could assist so we could get everything blowing within a minute of each other. And I remember pulling the smoke grenade, holding the $800 detonator in my hand, and then getting ready to kick the door open. And I did all that through the smoke. And it's funny, I went to bend down to pull the mortar back, and I hadn't blown it yet. So I stepped back, I hit the mortar, it blew. And I heard people outside saying, clear, clear, clear. And I was trying to yell, not yet, not yet, because we had all this dangerous equipment right by the door. And my main concern was to get the big steel mortars out of the way and the sandbags out of the way, and to make sure that the $800 receiver was out of the way. Pulled everything back, and everyone started pouring through. And it was in that moment when everyone was pouring through the smoke, and I was choking on the smoke. I had stuff all in my hair and on my arms. And then I heard the people coming in behind me, and I realized, holy shit, this was not a good idea. I was caught between 200 people shooting in the smoke with hot pans in my hand. And in that moment, I knew that this was going to turn into the ultimate meat grinder that I've ever been involved in. And I threw myself in the doorway and started herding people to one side while people were shooting up and down my back and the back of my head and my legs. And anyways, I apologize for the confusion. I apologize for the chaos. Not so much the chaos. The chaos is good, in my opinion. Chaos is a thing that you want. Happens in war. And one of the things I say all the time when we're discussing scenarios is, if it can happen in real life, it can happen in paintball. And if you're on the field for whatever reason, at the paintball field, you're there to shoot paint and catch paint. And specifics, yeah, I wish I had more control over certain specifics, like who can shoot in, who can shoot out. I'm really not... I wasn't as finessed as I should have been. And in my mind, I just thought, you know, if the field is active, this mission is active, you can shoot wherever you want. But I did not take into account the sheer clusterfuck that 400 people in one floor would be. So again, none of my mistakes, which I'm sure there's a lot and people will point out others, didn't come from a bad place. My heart was in it just to make sure everybody had a good time. And for the most part, like I said, I saw a lot of good time, but there's a different population, different percentage of paintball players that like the finesse game. They like the strategy. They like to strategize. And I got to say, after speaking to Ryan Bell and you know, discussing his strategies and Tango and Tonka, I'm like, damn, I would have loved to have seen the strategies that they had play out, because they were great. That's some of the best thinking I've seen in well, fucking a long time. Like, that was some good stuff. And Ryan Bell especially had some really great, very nefarious planning going on. And I would have loved to have seen that shit play out. And I guess it did to a certain degree, but still, that's where I take my hat off is, you know, you guys, you persevered, you pushed the game, you kept playing, everyone was exhausted at the end of it. And, you know, that made me feel good. But I got to tell you, managing 400 people and a pyro team, goddamn, not the easiest one.
No, I couldn't do it. I don't have that level of detail or attention to that kind of stuff. The pyro team was cool as hell. They were so like, listen, guys, that there was nothing dangerous. It was, they were explaining everything to me. I happened to toddle by and what I was doing and smoking a joint, trying to offer it to these guys. And they're like, no, we're the pyro team. I'm like, you can't have any then. Be gone. Like, I'll stand here and watch you blow shit up. You're not smoking with me yet. We'll talk after the day. But they were explaining it, everything that you guys had to go through to get that stuff done. And it was cool. It was wild being on, because I was right behind Pitsy when he was pushing in right after, once we ran in there, I was one of the first guys in, and it was fucking mental. It was so cool. I remember seeing you come out and I could hands up and you're getting lit up. And once you got past the door and they started slamming in, it was wild, wild, wild. The idea was really cool. It was unfortunate that there was a little bit of miscommunication between everybody. It happens. But holy shit, when you got in there was no shortage of bodies to throw paint at, and there was no shortage of people sending it right back at us. So the finesse guys, though, I do feel it, because there were some baller plans. Ryan, you're right, Ryan had some wicked ideas. I know Tom and Tim had some wild ones too. They were really, yeah, they were going to go and smash assholes, but they definitely had a solid idea of what they were going to do. And they definitely got to use a lot of their plan. I'm glad that they did. Like, everybody definitely got a taste of what they were looking for. It was just, there was some slippage. It happens. Yeah. You wrote a D&D campaign. Like, you wrote a D&D campaign. I'm looking at it for the first night and I'm like, fuck this, Reed. It's like, this is a DM who wrote this shit. And I'm reading it and I'm like, oh. And then it didn't really occur to me until the day of, and I'm listening to the details and the plans. I'm like, yeah, probably should have really read those a little closer. Better go start reading the fucking. So I'm going through the chat and I'm like, fuck, what did I miss? And I looked at Ryan. I'm like, Ryan, what do you want me to do? And he just told me where to go. They didn't have a problem telling us where to go. It was just communication.
Yeah. It was a big thing, man. It was I can't say much for the future of Honey Badger as that brand. I gotta say, you know, I gotta give mad props to Adam. Adam and I met years ago when I was working on Rookie Blue, and we had an episode that started off with this wild scene of the police officers fighting it out and shooting and you know, very, very, you know, it was very Apocalypse Now. And then they cut to the commercial, they come back and it shows that they're in a scenario paintball game, and they wanted the producers wanted something that was as realistic as possible. And I had recently bought a Tiberius, and I was playing woods ball with that up in Vaughn, and a guy on our camera team said, you know, have you heard of this company Max Tact? And you know, we started looking at them. We're like, whoa, this stuff looks so legit, so real. And so I contacted Steve Rattay, who is awesome, great guy. And he said, you should meet my buddy, Adam. He lives in Toronto. He's one of our representatives. He's a fantastic guy. You'll really enjoy talking to him. And I called him up and boom, next thing I know, Adam's at the Rookie Blue Studios. He's got a carload of, Max Tact TGRs, and we're in the back. We set up a target range, after hours, everyone had gone home except for me and a handful of guys that were, crazy into paintball all the time. And that's where our history started, like way back. I think it was Honey Badger 1. It wasn't Operation Craig, it was after that. So it was like Honey Badger won. And then shortly after that, I actually won a pair of boots, that first one. After that, he started asking me to design the logos. So every year we'd spend all this time talking about what we like. I'd come in with my little magic book of sketches and drawings, and he'd be yes to all, but can we change this or add this or change this? This is what I'm looking for. And every year we've had a slightly different theme, and we had that going for a number of years. And it's just in the past 3 years that I think Adam had mentioned something. He's like, oh, I have a mission idea. And we started talking about missions, and then we started, you know, co-writing the missions. And I got to tell you that even though I kept bragging about how often we'd go through the details and how often we go through the missions and how dedicated we were to simplifying things, this one just kind of, there's a lot going on. And I got to tell you guys, like, it's not a joke. Dehydration and sleep will kill you if you don't take care of it. I was running on 2 hours of sleep. And it was nuts. I see in the comments here, Tasha was asking.
I was about to say.
The Pyro team was Max Effects. They're an amazing team. They worked with me on Simulant, or Hello Stranger is called, Hardy Boys. They're really great out-of-the-box thinkers. They spitball a lot of stuff, and they'll sit down with you and they'll go over things and they will, you know, turn ideas around. And there's a bunch of things that at one point we weren't even going to have the breach because it was too difficult. We didn't have the space. We didn't have the room. We didn't have enough generators, and we discussed it. And I remember saying, you know, it's smoke and mirrors, guys. We're doing a film thing here. So someone had asked me why everybody was lined up the way they were lined up. And a lot of that was smoke and mirrors. We could blow the stuff, but we want people to feel like it was legit and realistic. So we had these long stacks that were on such a tight angle to the building that you couldn't see what was actually happening to the door. So everyone was stocked up, and we went through this several times, timed over and over again. And, as people were walking in towards each area, the door was closed and the door looked solid, and you know, the plates were in place. And so you walk by, you see a solid door. Once everyone was stacked up, I removed a plate from the bottom of the door that I was at, which we knew was loose. So that came out. We shuffled everything around. We angled the mortars up and against the wall. So when it hit the wall, it splashed back and created a lot of debris. And when it was ready and people couldn't see what was happening, we timed it in reverse almost. So I pulled the pin on the smoke, kicked the door open, threw the smoke out. Then we all detonated, and we were actually going to stagger it. We should have staggered it better with a longer pause so that everyone would have time to get in and witness it and not just run into a train wreck, basically. But it was a train wreck made of gold, so... You know, it was exciting. And if you want contact information, I can give you that. They were fantastic. Mel and Paul and Drew and, oh my God, I can't remember the last guy's name. My apologies. But Max is the guy who owns Max FX, Max and Mel. So they're worth looking up. They're great guys.
They really did know their stuff, especially that first bomb, that first box that exploded, the very first event was, Hooligan was close. He was closer than I was. And I was in the middle of the road and boom, boom. Holy fuck. What the fuck? Whoop, 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 whoop. And I turn around, take off in the other direction. Fuck that. I don't give a shit. Something just blew up next to me. And I'm like, didn't see that one coming. Took off down the road fast as all hell. And then I get to the edge of the building and we're like, what the hell's going on? But doom, you hear the next one go. I'm like, oh, that can't be good. And then they started coming. And that's when we all took off into the buildings and laughed my ass off. That first moment, just fuck. Bastards.
I keep watching that video over and over again. And just everybody like shake, you know, that everyone had that same, like that shorts shaking event, you know?
Oh,
and I, every time I see it, I laugh. It's funny because at the beginning when we were there, we're prepping everything. We had people walking out going, why is this taped off? And, well, you know, I was making up lies left, right, and center saying the government bought the land back and they have to test the land here. You know, it was like, we can't go
you
there.
Son of a bitch. I heard you say that. So I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, they said, don't go past the yellow tape. So don't go past the velvet rope.
Yeah. The I just saw Brad had checked his beard for singe. You know, man, I was walking around and there were soft explosives, first of all. So it was stuff like cork and peat moss. But when that stuff gets fried and it pops out, some of it, you know, it cooks. And I had it in my hair. I had it all over my arms. It's like with the flares when I was trying to make sure I was beating a dead horse, basically. Whenever something came out for the bell towers, I would go out there with these pink flares. Not flares, but the pink smoke. And I'd be waving it around and, you know, I feel like I may as well have been go-go dancing because I was out there with the pink smoke, making sure that people would see it. I'd climb up on top of the stairs. I'd be waving it around. And I'm like, what the hell is landing in my hair? The horse flies. And I realize it's all the stuff's kicking out of the smoke into my hair and again on my arms. Like, fuck, this isn't going to stop. I got like so much shit in my hair, in my eyebrows, on my arms. You know, it was penance. So, you know, it was a crazy thing. I got to tell you guys that, you know, the few days after that, I was just, I was emotionally shattered. Like I said, I felt like I came in off of a high the previous 2 years. All I heard were positives about the stuff I'd written for the previous Honey Badgers. And it just gave me such a thrill. My family was always like, you know, don't bother. You know, you put all this time into you take thousands and thousands and thousands of hours away from your family for this stuff. And they're right. Something like this takes a long, long time to come up with just the creative part of it. The logistics are a totally different animal. And if there's anything that I can, you know, assist with people in the future of what not to do. I mean, yeah, this was fun. It was great. And on the surface level, everyone went out and shot the shit out of each other. And, you know, it's paintball. I mean, who wouldn't love that? But from a logic point of view, from someone who's used to dealing with teams and timelines and logistics, I know some of us in the chat here do the same line of work as I do. They can appreciate this. Everything we do in our life is based on getting the trains out of the station on time and sticking to those details and making sure everything, you know, happens. And, you know, it's, you know, like I said, I am my own worst critic. People may have been angry with me or people may have, you know, been blowing up because, you know, there's the confusion and there's a few times I got into people's faces, trying to get them out of the ref's faces and, you know, not professional on my part. Like I was ready to throw down with people and that was just not cool.
Well, okay. There's no reason to be yelling at the refs. I get in anyone's face for getting mad at a ref, but that's me because I like those guys. They fucking ate some shit.
Yeah. I gotta say, you know, like, hats off to those guys. I could have given them a much deeper briefing. It's hard to get 18 refs. It's hard to get 18 refs, especially something like that. You know, it's people are coming from all different walks of life and timelines and coming in. And, you know, I'm so thankful to Blair and his entire team of, they're special ops. Those guys, you know, they work under the shadows. They catch shit. They try and keep things in line. And, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, God, you know, there for the grace of God go I, but the refs are going instead. I mean, they're catching everything. And, you know, thank God for those guys, because without them, we just wouldn't be playing. We'd be playing airsoft, you know?
Right. I got you. Yeah. I'm not going to poke fun at airsoft. I shouldn't. They have to wake up every morning and look at themselves anyways, but, the gear's cool as hell. Their gear is cool as hell. I'm a bit of a masochist. I like coming home and showing off my bruises and my bangs because I'm masochist. Again, I said,
well, that's Lance, the big thing,
do you want to come and fucking host the show with me? Because I mean, fuck, I'm so low. I got great company tonight. He's better looking than Brad. He's got less beard. Together we make up like 10 minutes of Brad's growing.
And you know, I almost shaved tonight, but I thought, you know what? If Brad's not there, I got to bring something in.
You got to bring, yeah, because this is all I've got. A bit, you know, yeah, Blair. You guys are wonderful. I'm still there's. I wish I could distill that referee's attitude and just spray it on some of the ones around here, and just get a little more oomph out of them. And we should just hire Blair to come and just whip our refs into shape.
Yeah,
I think that's what I almost think I might have to suggest that to our friends at Moncton Paintball, that maybe we should all chip a little money in and see if we can get a ref clinic down here, and see if we could get one of those fine lads come down here and show these boys how it's done. And well, hell scare yeah, the that's, living yeah. fucking piss out of them. Blair such, would eat them alive.
Full Metal Jacket. What's his name again? The drill sergeant.
R. Lee Ermey. Oh, Drill Sergeant Hartman. He will rip their head off and shit down their neck. The best part of them leaked down the crack of their mama's ass and ended up like a brown stain on the mattress. I think they've been cheated.
Blair can do the same thing.
Oh my fuck, I would pay to see that. Yeah. I'm thinking Blair road trip. We're going to have to talk to our boys at Moncton Paintball about that, because their refs are, they're up and coming. They're brave. I watched like first time refs reffing speedball, and immediately speedballers are like, that ref is scared, and they were on top of the ref like fat kid on a cupcake, and our more senior ref like immediately was on top of it. So they're getting better, but I think, I don't know, maybe blowing smoke out Blair's ass, but I'm thinking he would not hurt to have him teach those guys a thing or two. Steve can come visit and teach him something too.
Yep. Oh yeah. Gator.
I'm going to give him a phone book. Go beat the refs with it until they learn.
I wanted to say something.
Yes, it is, Blair.
If you're being a masochist, I've played airsoft as well. And I'm not going to go into airsoft a lot, but I enjoy both. I enjoy the hunt on both. I enjoy the tension both. But again, I'm too stupid to know when I've been shot in airsoft. And that's why I need to have that. My nerves need to be jangled.
Yeah.
That's not to say that I don't enjoy it. And, you know, who knows, down the road, maybe I'll delve into writing missions, you know, for that as well. I mean, they're easily transferable, but I go back to paintball because I know when I've been hit. I need that. I like the splat. I like the thump. You know, it's a thing.
I run right into the paintballs as it is, and a lot of the times I've got to go and turn around and look at a ref and go like this, and they'll go, "Yeah, you're hit." I'm like. They won't catch me for playing on. They won't catch me for not calling my hits. They'll catch me for shit like, hey, buddy, like talking to somebody, like just not thinking of it, or stumbling into the warehouse like a pothead. Oh, fuck, I am in the warehouse, man. Shit. And I just walk back out. That poor lady ref just hollering at me.
Paul just suggested that players, yeah.
The quartermaster's right.
Clothing, you feel it more, but Paul, if I played with less clothing, that would be like watching Trudeau run the country. That goes back to another comment. You don't need to see that. Less clothing, yeah. Less happy.
I've started playing in just shorts. Like I'll still wear my my jersey, but just jorts, man. And I don't mind it. And it was so hot that I'm glad that I wasn't wearing pants, because I'd have died.
Did you say you were wearing jorts?
I was wearing jorts, jean shorts. I
fucking love that.
Jorts. Because I'm, look at me, headband, stoner.
Yeah.
Like, well, it just fits into the motif.
The other word that I have, a lot of soccer players wear, you know, they wear their shorts a little lower down. Like a lot of the coaches will wear, younger coaches will wear them down to like mid calf or whatever. Capris. I call them manpris. Another fashion statement any of us can run with if we choose to. Yeah. Politics, yes, gross.
Yeah.
Let's talk steak.
Steak. Okay, then let's see. Where do we go from here? The afternoon. Well, we were talking about the breach. There was some spawn resets that kind of fucked everybody up.
So I just want to address that for a second.
Sure.
The reset. So like right after the breach, it was beaucoup de chaos. And I was trying to figure out a way to get it back on track. I didn't want to rob anybody of any time. So hats off to Adam. He saw it for what it was early on. He's like, let's reset. So we're trying to figure out the time to reset. And we're trying to figure out which mission to throw up next. There was a lot of talk about remains to be seen, which was a mission that we didn't get to do, which implemented a whole stack of body parts and heads from various films I've worked on over the years. It would have been really cool. It would have been so cool. But, you know, there's some discussion as to some of the areas as where it's going to be staged and some concerns. And so we thought we would throw one in there as a palate cleanser, a simple mission. That was a flag mission. That was a surprise mission. We actually had 6 to 7 missions lined up for that day. We had a couple of surprise missions. I just wish it had been longer. And in retrospect, we could have ran with one and variables throughout the different periods of the day. But again, with Adam, he's a genuine altruistic mastermind when it comes to this. He wants everybody to be happy, excited, and entertained 24/7 if you can. And you know, as we go through stuff, my motto, like I said, was if it can happen in real life, it can happen in a paintball game. His motto is make sure that everybody has the 3-ring circus. Make sure they have enough to do all the time. So we didn't get to get to all that stuff. And I know at one point there's even more confusion because I heard on the radio, somebody found a body and people are running around with arms. And is that mission a go? And I was like, no, I mean, I can tell you it's not a go because I have my box full of body parts in my trailer still. And somebody dragged a body in from somewhere. I had wanted to come out and take a look at it, but it's from a previous game. And, you know, any of that stuff that's ours will always have a tag on it or some sort of tape or, you know, any of that stuff. So,
okay. See, I had heard bits of that. I had heard that it wasn't in play. And then someone said they found body parts and the rest were trying to figure out what the hell was going on. I had no clue what the fuck they were talking about anyways. So again, I just kind of turned that direction and I went and I shot at some red people until someone told me otherwise. Because like Brad said, at that point, I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Someone's going to tell me what to do. I tried breaching that building and I loved running in and then immediately coming out, turn around, slap, stretch out, load my mags back up, walk right back in. I thought that was a cool idea. I thought that was wicked. The generals were doing their best to lead their teams with their squads. They were trying. But again, Ryan had super complex plans and we're like herding cats.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to do. Some people just want to go sling paint and some people want to play. So it's hard to factor that in because if everybody sits down at a D&D game, they're choosing to sit down and play D&D. There's not somebody who's deciding that he wants to really play the game. And there's another guy who just wants to sit there and roll dice and hit shit and ignore the story. Like you said, if it can happen, anything will happen. And players will find ways to poke holes in all your shit, no matter how much you plan for it. Some asshole is going to climb up to the second floor.
Yep.
You know who the fuck you are, you skinny little bastard. Climb up to the second floor where you're not supposed to be able to get in, but no one really said we're not supposed to. And then you got Blair coming at you with a stick, hollering at you and shit. Well, they didn't tell us we couldn't. So then they're trying to call, and you're one guy. It's almost like a bottleneck where you were just getting hammered from six directions, from people hollering at you, people asking you questions. You got your commanders coming up. You got exos coming up and asking questions. Plus you were running the table where all the crosses and the coins and all that stuff was coming in. You took so much on. I'm surprised you didn't stroke out by noon, because I kept coming by to check on you. Because I kept walking up going, you want to smoke a bowl yet? And you're like, no. I'm like,
I got some good love from you, man. I got some great love from you, actually.
I couldn't let you burn. Like, that's not cool, man. Like, you were really trying. There was no question you were trying your best to salvage a situation that kind of went sideways. But you did. After lunch, there was that flip. There was a flip once the SAS guys jumped over and it balanced things out. It started to roll. People started to have fun, and you heard it on the field. And then people started coming out saying, okay, that was fun. There's always going to be that demoralized group. Like, unfortunately, it does happen. I'm not the best example for big games. I've only been to, like, this would have been my fourth. So, okay, shit goes sideways. Just run with it. Like, what do you do? Like, I don't control it. So there's no point in hollering, but I do see the hooligan's point when he's seen it. So I'm terrible at it, because I don't know. I just want to go out and have fun and see my friends. And I got to do all that and then drive home. Fuck it. There was no complaints from me the whole way. I had a blast. I got the bruises and all that. And yeah, overcome and adapt. Exactly, Gator. Yeah.
And you know what? Someone said to me the year before, actually it was Tango, when we started that game last year, last minute, I had an idea. And I said, we're going to change up the start of the game. We're not going to start at our spawns. We're not going to start here. We're going to start off with these hot whistles. We're going to have everyone start in the same spot. And you're going to run when it goes. The first whistle, you run. And you head out to where you got to head out to. And you wait until you get a second double whistle. And only when you have the double whistle are you weapons hot. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And I remember Tango coming to me going, dude, you just changed all around. I said, yep. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Good. And that sort of thing happens. And that's another thing that we kept talking about. I was like, we had a lot of switchbacks, a lot of hairpin turns, a lot of red herrings. And, it'd be easy for me to say that a lot of these fuck-ups and these big chaotic events were examples of those. They were, but not intentionally and not by my hand. So, a lot of those things that turned things ultra chaotic were, they needed to be thought through more before we actually did them. And, the next game I do, and again, I'm not saying anything about future of Honey Badger, but, I'm definitely continuing to write more games, and I'm definitely going to be putting things together. And, I've talked to a couple of, places, and I know Adam has too. And, it'll be stuff that happens slower in the organization, but earlier on, I've already started writing stuff. The very next day I started taking my notes and writing stuff down, and I have so much stuff. I have so much love for you guys and so much shit to share. And all I need in return are some of you guys having these moments that were like, holy fuck, I did not see that coming. And I'm glad, because it's fucking awesome. And that's the wow factor for me. That's what I enjoy. It's like working in film when you have a chaotic day, and at the end of it, everybody's still there. Like, damn, that worked out well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just even earlier when we were talking about it, and me talking about that explosion, your eyes just lit up. Like, I saw the wonder and the happiness. So I see exactly where you were going with it. It just, again, no plan survives a paintballer.
No.
They'll find a way.
I have so many phenomenal, in my mind, great starts to games.
Aw, well, thanks. Look at nightmare being a nice boy. Code Nightmare PB for your G Fuel, everybody. We'll give our friend Nightmare a cheap pop because he wasn't a honey badger, so he needs a little something, a little love from us. So go buy yourself some G Fuel, everybody.
Now I wanted to ask, like, is there any way of doing a draw in here or anything like that? Because you weren't ready for this, but I have these items here, and they aren't Def Leppard shirts, but I kind of
nice.
I kind of like to, these were limited. I kind of like to do a shirt giveaway to someone that would appreciate it, but how do we choose that? Is there a way of having?
I don't know, because he kind of just—it's like leaving your kid in charge. Like, you never know what shit's gonna happen when you do it. I don't know.
Is there a way that maybe you guys could put something up over the next couple of days and?
You know what? We're going to do that. I want to hear some sexy. I want to see some sexy. Tonka does raffles.
That's true. That's true.
Tonka does do raffles. But we don't do raffles here. We give shit away. So we will figure it out. We'll get the hooligan up here, and he is going to help us out and give away some of those sexy Honey Badger shirts for all the beautiful people who came out tonight to come and just chat with us and cleanse ourselves for next year, because wherever the hell the next game is, I've only booked for D-Day to go out next year. So I got to find a new Ontario party place. So wherever there's going to be a MagFed party, I'm going to have to show up and come see you guys again, because,
I hope so. I just saw that Gator asked a question. Name other places that commit as much as you do for the MagFed scenario scene. Like, so that's something that Adam and I talk about a lot too. We try and leave everything on the table. We try and give as much as we can to our generals, our refs, the people that are in the game, and the people that come out to the game. And again, it's not an exaggeration. Like, my family, very upset with me, because I spend so much time, creating these games, and, hours and hours, like weeks, like just so long, but it's a positive thing I find, and they'll never get it because they don't play. My one son used to play, but until they come out and experience it again, that will be my own pleasure in the family. I enjoy paintball and scenario and creating the stuff for my peers and my friends and my minions and nemesis and all that stuff. Don't get to play as much as I want, and I'm hoping that someone will drag me out to a game sooner than later. And it's just been basically woods ball the past couple of years, and it's not the same.
No,
it's not the same as it used to be, that's for sure. So I'm just trying to keep up with these.
We got some cool comments coming in here. We got, Nightmare moving to Ontario next year. It means he's closer, so I can see him again. That'd be sexy. Blair. And we've got Nightmare saying he'd like to put something together. Blair at Georgina would be a good place. I've never been. I would love to go and check that place out. I've got a hat and all sorts of cool shit from them. So the Rhino suggested that.
Another place that I've been trying to get a hold of, and I've written to Dave a few times, but never heard back from him. Maybe he just doesn't know who the fuck I am, but Ultimate Paintball. I would love it if those guys would reach out to me at some point, because I got some love for them too, and that's near Campbellville. I would love to throw something there. And again, based on my industry, I would really like to put something together that's serial, that's episodic. That every time there's a game, it progresses to the next episode or the next game at the next place.
Oh, that's cool.
And I won't go
into a tour.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm not going to go into a lot of those details right now, because I have spent tons of hours penning this stuff out, just like I would any other script. And, if anybody is, it's true. Blair's saying Ultimate is difficult to get into. I will drive by there. Every time I go there, I look like a stalker. I'm creeping around the gate looking through, like, is there candy in here? Is there candy in here?
Hello, mister. Can I get this? Hello. Come in. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, I've had conversations with some of the other bigger places too. And, you know, just because someone says no, you can't stop an art director. Tasha would know that. There's always a way to get your yes. And there's always a way to make something happen. Even if they say no, even if there's a wall instead of a door, we find a fucking way in there. And, you know, I ever thought of bringing Honey Badger International. Oh. I have a lot of friends that play ball. And they, well, here's the thing. Like, Honey Badger is a brand that, you know, Adam and his son came up with years ago. And it's phenomenal. We love it. And, you know, out of respect for Adam, if he decides he doesn't want to carry on with that, you know, that's, God love the guy. I mean, he's shared so much with me since I met him way back on Rookie Blue. And, you know, we have a lot of differences in personality, but that's what makes us a dynamic duo. And in the end, you know, we're always grabbing each other here and there and, you know, under the table, and that's good.
That's how it should be. You should always make sure that you have a solid grip under the table with your partner. Otherwise, you know.
So whatever it's going to be, though,
it's a little funny.
It may not end up being under the title of Operation Honey Badger. It may be Operation Gremlin or Post-Op Honey Badger or something. But you'll know that it comes from it's birthed from our loins, as it were.
Beautiful. That's what I like to hear. That might be this isn't it'll it it the, you know what? Sometimes you got to go away and learn a new hold. Yep. You got to go and pick something new up, and look on the bright side. Whatever you do next, it's going to be fucking. You're going to go up from here. It's going to just be fucking even better. More explosions and fucking dancing girls and some Rob Zombie shit. It's going to look like a Rob Zombie concert next time. I'm convinced now.
Hey, dude, because I've seen White Zombie live in New York.
I saw the zombie in Montebello and it was wild. So
White Zombie in New York. I saw White Zombie back in the day in Montreal.
I hate you. It was a white zombie. It was a Rob.
I'm so old. I saw The Clash, dude. I saw The Clash live.
Fuck.
Yeah. You know,
okay. Now so, he's dating himself for some of the youngins here. But go and if you there's no youngins here tonight. Young people aren't fucking watching this show. What the fuck? This is the morgue.
Tasha's a youngin. Tasha's a youngin.
We're all young at heart.
Yeah. No.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. So you know. Whether the next company is called Food of My Loins, which is a quote from what show? Anybody? Fruit of My Loins. No?
Monty Python, maybe. Nah, I'd go Flying Circus, but...
Simpsons. Anyways, I'll make it known, and it'll go up there, and people will know, and of course you are, Tasha.
Just hang out with old people. That's okay. You know what? You're going to be a darling at the fucking retirement center. That's all. Operation Phoenix Rising. Ooh.
Hey, Vinny.
Vinny.
The Godfather is in the house, people.
What a nice dude. Brad introduced me to him. What a cool fella.
Yeah,
he is. I'm not saying that because he could cap my ass. It's just nice fella. You
know, he's really good in The Division, too. I don't know if anyone ever played The Division other than this, but that was so. Vinny is actually another great bonus that I received through knowing Adam. You know, Adam brought me into SAS, and those guys from New Jersey, New York, you know, even some of those cats are coming up from Texas in the past years. I mean, love those guys. Those guys are phenomenal. That's my family. Love those guys, and I can be shitty to everybody. I can be shitty to them, and they will still take me back. So
yeah, exactly. You know, that's not doesn't just say something about their character. It says something about yours too, because everybody falls down. Everybody slips. Everybody has those fucking moments of immense pressure where you just fucking snap, and you're like, "Fuck, I shouldn't have done that." Damn. And then you go and then you spend half the day beating yourself up because you and that little fucker's in the back of your mind. You're like, little bastard. It's all good, baby. It's all good. We still love you. I'm looking forward to the next event, wherever the hell it may be, because
Well, I got to say that, you guys have been so supportive and just so fucking immensely reliable as human beings and friends. And I consider all of you guys my friends. But you know, I got to give certain shout outs to the King. I got to give a specific shout out to Brad. I got right up in Brad's face in the first minutes of the game. It's funny. This is where my head was at. I'm yelling at Brad. Brad's yelling at me. I'm like, fuck, this guy looks a lot like Brad. He had his mask on. I'm like, this guy's got the same fucking beard as Brad. Who the fuck is this guy? And blah, 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 blah. And it wasn't until afterwards. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I heard you go, what's your fucking name? And yeah. I just went, what does he
yeah,
even
I was,
know? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, oh, shit. Oh, man. Dude.
That's exhaustion. Oh, and here's another thing. Ryan. So Ryan is, you know, one of my favorite people now. Like, just solid as a fucking mm-hmm. rock. That guy mm-hmm. is, you know, I love that guy. We yep. walked into the hotel together, and it's funny because I was talking to him on Monday, and I owe him a great big apology. I was so short-sighted during the game, and I was I'm not someone to ghost people or dismiss people, and if I find out that someone thinks I have, it's crushing, and it kills me. I don't ever want people to do that, and I will do my best to rectify it, and sometimes I just dig the hole deeper, and I don't mean to, and so I asked him when I was talking to him on Monday, it's like, so dude, where did you and Tonka stay? Did you stay at the field? He's like, dude, I can tell you were exhausted because I checked into the hotel with you. We told the people at the hotel I was your bodyguard and you told them you were famous. I'm like, fuck, man. Because yeah, your eyes were pinballing. He told me, he saw me eat a meal afterwards. I didn't even remember what the meal was, but I was just crushed it and carried on. So that's got to get right back into my head. And that was one of the reasons why I kind of pushed myself onto the show. I wanted to not hide away. I didn't want to go dark. I didn't want to, you know, stomp off, pick up my ball and go home. I wanted to come back out here. And if anyone had shit to say to me, by all means, I mean, I'm here, I'm happy, and I feel I owe you guys all of that, you know. And hats off to all of you guys and gals. I keep saying guys, and it's inclusive, but you know, from now on, I'll just say hats off to all you gals. Beautiful ladies, all of you.
I am a gorgeous, gorgeous lady, and I'm a good girl. So it's it's all good, baby. It's all good. It happens. It happens. And you know what? People will blow their steam off. Oh, listen, it was just a thing, guys. We all know what happens. It'll happen again. We'll fucking make it better. It'll be a blast again. We'll all drag ourselves out of the hair. Yeah. Which one? His facial hair or my terrible hair? It's both. Cause I look like shit. I'm exhausted. But I came out just to say that you're all beautiful.
Well, there's the hair. There's the granddad hair for everybody.
Oh, look at that. That is silver and majestic.
You're majestic, my friend.
Ah, no, hardly. I just toddle around like a pothead.
I love that.
Toddling around with that bong, that one lad that I found at the front, sitting at the table with this tiny little wee bong. And I'm just like, bud. And he's looking around. And I think he's looking for Adam, and I'm just looking around. I'm like, nah, hey buddy, don't worry about that. It's fine. You're in Canada, bud. Like, you can hit that shit. It's fine. And just off I go again into the distance. I got to go around the field with my bong and smoke with the ghosties. That made me happy. I got to like mark a whole bunch of things off my paintball checklist this year. Ooh, very nice. You're talking
shameless promotions here because we still have some stuff left. I'm just
We do like shameless promotions here. Ooh.
I'm just saying.
I'm now hypnotized. I need a rock glass. I'm going on vacation. I might have to do an order because the King needs a new glass for his boozing when he returns to the sovereign land of Smokanda, Where do you think I get my powers? My powers of smoking come from a special land that incorporates for 5 days a year, and I have to go re-energize soon because otherwise.
Can I say one more thing about all this? I would be remiss if I did not bring this up. It's okay to fuck up. It's okay to fall down, like you said. It's okay to overlook things. And you know, I tell my kids the same thing, though. Like, you can fuck up. You always fuck up. But you, A, have to take ownership of it. You have to take responsibility for it. And it's not about how many times you fuck up. You just may not get hired. But it's where you go with it. And unless you're learning from those fuck-ups, then they're just fuck-ups. But you got to learn. You got to take those moments, and you got to figure out what you did wrong. And it could, you may have to get feedback from 1,000 people before you realize what you've done wrong. Or you may need to have someone that takes, you know, 2 minutes of their time out of the day, like Ryan Bell, for example, and just listen to you cry and sing and whine and dance, and, you know, have him spit out, you know, a single acorn of advice. And you're like, you know what? Fuck, from one dad to another, that's a good piece of advice, my man. And, you know, same with Tonka and, you know, Avery, like everyone. I've actually spoken to everyone since, and everyone's been fantastic. And, you know, I just want to say that I just hope everyone keeps playing. I hope everyone keeps playing. Everyone keeps running games. If I can help anybody with their games, you know, ask me. I'm happy to, because I want to support. And, you know, I love the fact that you guys supported me. And there's not enough scenario games. There should be more. You know, it's, you let me know, I'll let you know. And you know, I'm, you know, I got huge ideas that I still need to have happen, and I need to bring them into reality over the next few years. You know.
Both, I don't think anybody's not going to play paintball again because of this. And if they do, they were soft anyways. If this little thing, and this in the grand scheme of things of paintball, this is not a huge, it sucks. It happens, but it sucks. But if that turns you off of paintball, man, you're soft. Get it.
Well, how many of us actually had fun? Yeah, there we go.
Pretty sure everybody, I had fun, so fuck the rest of you. SOC will be back. I assumed that the SOC would be back. They were wonderful.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single, I don't think I ran into anybody that was unkind or uncool. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, that's unkind as well too. Those guys were solid through and through, helpful, true ambassadors of the game, and on and off the field, those guys, you know, Bob Spicer, you know, double grip for me anytime, my friend.
They were all, for a name like unkind, they were all very nice fellows.
Yeah. Irving Chan, it's always great to see you, man. Another, you know, personality in paintball that, you know, if he shows up, you're happy he's there, man. Like, he brings the extra life into it. You know, I fucking love going to a game like Honey Badger. And I've roadied enough over the years. I've done stage and, you know, hauled wires and cables over the years. And, you know, it's amazing when you get to a place like this. It reminds me of the first days of the Warp Tour that I used to work with my friends, and the bands start rolling in, and Mike Ness is, you know, walking around with you talking about your dog from Social Distortion, and, you know, shameless name plug here, shit like that, Lagwagon. You know, I remember the first time Sublime was supposed to play, but, you know, unfortunately Brad passed the week before, and the singer, and but it's exciting because you see these friends that you've made, and they show up on the field. You see these personalities, and they roll up on the field. And I don't always remember everybody's name because I'm insane. And, you know, I will associate stuff. I associate faces to names to events. And, you know, it's slow in the coming. But, you know, we will all do it again soon. And
fuck yeah.
You know, I'm looking around, and I'm happy to, you know, when I figure out where the next thing is going to be for me, and if Adam's part of that, fantastic. If he's not, I have his blessing, and I mean, I love the guy. He's one of my closest friends, so.
Oh, yeah. Gator. You're such a sweet guy, man. Be a better baller. Oh, man.
He's a great.
I think that, my friend, was a beautiful high note. We are at that hour. and Gators, and Gators immense positivity is going to fuel my hate for the rest of the weekend. So when I go play paintball, I'm just going to shoot shit at someone.
Oh, one last thing.
Shoot.
Tasha, you still have an amazing video for SOC that you have to use. Come back to me and I'll change it for you for this year. Anyways, love you guys. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for not flaying me.
Nah. There's a lot of Canadians in this chat. Everybody's super, super cool about it. So
true enough.
That's it. That's all. We thank you, buddy. Really, really do.
Reach out to me, any of you guys, for whatever. Merch, games, ideas, help.
Fuck anything. Yeah. Fuck yes. Everybody, reach out to the man. Say hi. Pictures of your wiener.
Say hi. Exactly. Wear boobs.
Whatever you want to say pictures of.
I will put stuff up, and people can go to my website whenever they want, if they want. So,
yes.
All right. Amazing. Thanks, Brad.
We appreciate you all. Like, share, subscribe. Don't forget your sponsors. You guys know who you are. This was a special edition just because we love them. So peace out.